The patients are gonna have to wait.
Good.
No.
Rock and roll.
Well, I guess we can't start. Everybody gave up on it.
We can, it's new.
Quorum. But you count as a quorum, I mean, where, who all counts as a quorum?
We have to have five people.
Five.
Five.
And that's not including us and.
Three.
You.
You have a three member.
Did you ever meet this past weekend?
Didn't.
Or was it?
Yes.
Before, it was this weekend.
We have this past weekend, we were in, by Madison.
Mm-hmm.
In the snow.
Mm-hmm.
And this coming weekend, I go down to Kewaunee, Illinois.
Okay.
And then we get some time off because states in March and regionals is in April.
What sport?
Tumble and tram.
Oh, okay. Exciting.
Yeah.
I just figured I, knowing where things usually were, I thought you had one.
Okay.
Yep. It'd be nice to get a break.
Mm-hmm.
Every weekend.
Oh, I didn't need a print off, okay.
This is a new version.
From what you sent earlier?
Yep.
Okay.
There's always a new version, you gotta keep checking them.
Keep up with her.
Make sure that I'm on board.
And you did not print off a agenda?
No, would you guys, I'm a decrease the paper kind of person.
A what?
Decrease the paper.
I saw an agenda.
Yeah, but what do you?
But it wasn't printed.
Agenda never really was anything on it anyway, so I didn't.
We have one.
I didn't have that printed.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
I have one, I printed mine.
Whatever was on the agenda, I remember all that.
Can you see it from here, Diane?
My thing is, if something like, you know, intensive paper, let's have paper, but other than that.
Something we want to take notes on, that's fine.
If you want your agenda, you can print it out.
Yeah, I'll just.
Or bring your laptop, I'm buying a laptop.
We need one more person.
I don't need my laptop, I need this. That has my agenda on it.
That works.
Anyone coming down the ramp?
What is the login for the wifi here?
Guest@kenoshacounty.org.
What's the password?
Guest.
Oh, this, okay, that's easy enough to remember.
Oops. We can't take any votes, actions.
Here comes someone.
Oh, God's disgusting.
There's someone coming. Mark's coming.
Hola.
Welcome.
Hi, Mark.
We're at four people now.
Need one more?
How could we wrangle in from the parking lot?
Was there something else besides this then for today?
What's your left hand? It's just normal maintenance?
Hey, we've got approval yet this year for the Remicade, so I'm like afraid. And I'm left-handed, so it's like, I'm just trying to keep it. Typical insurance stuff I go through every year. Remicade's a biological.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it every 6 weeks, and they bill the insurance company $32,437 for my Remicade. I don't know what the insurance pays them, but that's what they bill. Mm-hmm. I was just grabbing some documents from 2016, and I was shredding them, and that's when I first was on Remicade, and it was $18,003. So between 2016 and now it went
that's
from
crazy.
$18,034,000.
Guest@kenoshacounty.org?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not working.
Well, and then, isn't the password Kenosha?
Oh, the password might be Kenosha.
Oh.
I don't think it's capital A.
It's all small.
Okay.
Try that.
I was using guest as a password.
You know, we're guessing. We don't use the password.
You only need to use it once. Right?
I get like asked this twice a year, so.
Yeah.
Try that one.
Yeah, you never have to.
I'm cool with you all.
Should we just start discussing and then
actually
have a formal meeting?
Let me
get like
this.
Once we get
if somebody shows up, just can't do any business.
Right.
That work, Diane?
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
Now we know what it is.
So we can't approve minutes. Any... There's somebody?
No, just random people banging doors.
Who said they could not be here today?
Dr. Foster said he could not be here. That's the only person I've heard from.
And somebody else said Tuesdays were impossible.
Dentist, what's his name?
Yes.
Sorry, I'm badly bad.
Maggie, the vet.
Was it the vet, or was it the dentist?
I thought it was the dentist.
Both the vet and the dentist. I'm messing up their names, I know, I'm sorry. Said that Tuesdays were bad, but they didn't put in an official, I'm not going to be here, excuse. Which I think, just so you know, when we looked at some of the absences in the past and whatnot, it was always marked as excused, but very few times was it that somebody actually called or emailed Karen and said, I will not be there. So we weren't following Robert's rules that way, just so you know.
Yeah, and I don't even know if anybody kept, you guys were the only ones keeping track.
Yeah, Karen kept.
I kept track.
Good details.
Go you.
Okay. So, public comments, anyone? Yeah. Chairman's comments. I will be in D.C. in about 2 weeks with the NALBO NACHO conference for going up on the hill. So if anybody, I'm coming back before we hit the hill, but if there's any information to pass on, and we'll bring some of that information back. But we are very involved in trying to be activists for public health and take things up there. Another thing that people should be aware of is that the state is looking at school immunizations. The proposal is to mandate the meningitis. It's also to move the tetanus to 7th grade instead of 6th grade, and also to mandate that you have proof of chickenpox disease instead of just saying I've had it and not been shot. Okay. So those are three of the big changes that anyone with kids or working with kids needs to know about, but that's hitting the one of the committees pretty soon. I did relay it up to our Aurora's governmental people, and they're looking at it. And I also sent it on to NALBO, who works with WALDAB, which is the Wisconsin Association of Local Boards of Health, and they're looking at it and making sure their government people are on it.
Thank you. Yeah. Are they looking at all to remove the
waivers?
I was trying to think.
That was not on it.
Okay.
That was not on it, but it needs to
happen. Okay.
So, I know, is it LaCrosse is really putting together an army of work to try to get rid of their personal exemption and try to hit that.
And in some places, if you say it's a religious exemption, you must have a letter from your church
saying that it is,
proving that you are that religion.
Well, not only that you're that religion, but that the religion actually has a belief.
Correct.
Belief.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Okay.
There's lots of good work to be done on that we did. Mm-hmm. With Kenosha wants to jump in and spearhead. I like it.
And push it?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, we can go to the WALDAB conference. Will be coming up this spring.
Yep.
It's in
May.
May.
Third week of May.
Yeah.
I'm going.
You're going?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm blocked off for that week. I'll probably go.
Okay.
So we should get together and try and work on that.
That's good.
Okay.
All right.
All right. So.
Yeah, Karen, that's the WPHA/WALDAB. They combine them.
Okay.
In the
yep. Yeah, NACHO, it's, yeah.
There's lots of acronyms to learn.
There is. NACHO is National Association of City and County
Health Officials.
Health Officials.
Yeah, I've been to that one before. That's where I met Jen.
NALBO is the National Association of Local Boards of Health.
Right.
And those two work together real closely because we're kind of a group. WPHA is Wisconsin Public Health Association. And then you've got ASTO, which is the State Health Officials.
Association of State and Territorial Health Officials.
Yep.
Is that coinciding with NACHO's?
Yep.
Same time, basically?
No, WALDAB is in May. That's our Wisconsin one. The NACHO NALBO is coming up this month.
Yeah.
To go up on the hill. And then NALBO has their conference in August. I'm actually president for NALBO for this year. And then NACHO has their conference in July. Mm-hmm. They'll be in Denver. We're going to be in Michigan. So Michigan's pretty close if anybody wants to go. It's in Grand Rapids. We usually have some really good talks. We have some great keynote speakers, and then we have people from different boards of health give talks about what they're doing in their area.
For us in the field of public health, the NACHO one in July is really pertinent because it is all local health departments on every topic, lots of good things to come back and try to implement locally. Then in November is the American Public Health Association, APHA one, that is a little more empirical, academic, epidemiology, the science behind things, which is also good, so they sort of have their place.
Right.
The NACHO one is a little more operational, boots on the ground, kind of thing.
Yeah, and same with the NALBO one. NALBO one is directed at the Board of Health members, so everybody's sitting in this room. So. All right. On to Jen. Corporate Con. Council.
Oh, it just skipped right over.
Oh, yeah, I mean, just came over and looked at the records, the paper records, so I applaud you for trying to maybe get rid of some of those and store them electronically. So other than that, and looking at these bylaws, that's what I did, you know, since the last meeting.
Okay.
So.
And we'll talk about those in a little bit. Okay.
All right.
Thanks, Jen.
All right, so first, I just wanted to address the date-time issue. So I sent an email, maybe I incorrectly assumed, and so I want to step back just a minute, because when initially I was looking at Karen's very detailed notes of absences and who was here and who was not, for example, in 2019, 6 of our 9 members missed more than half of the meetings, 3 or more meetings in the year. And so to me, that stood out, well, maybe Mondays aren't the right time. And then I had heard from a couple of members, Mondays really are hard for us. So that's why I brought it up last time, thinking, okay, there has to be a better time for everyone. Did the poll, got a couple of comments back, that the time wouldn't work. And so I realized we'll never find a perfect time for everybody. But being that I would like to see that the board is more active and showing up, you know, that... What are your thoughts? Yeah, more engaged with dates and times. This date and time was the one that had the most votes, which is why I went with it. And this also cannot be teased apart from board membership. So I'll just kind of go into that too, because it sort of plays into it, if that's okay. We have one vacancy right now. And if this... why am I forgetting his last name, the dentist?
Murtado.
I keep wanting to say Mario, but I shouldn't address him by his first name. Had said, well, that's okay. I can step back if this doesn't work. He did have the most vacancies. And so when I'm looking at state statute, one of the things in state statute says that a board must be diverse and make up the demographics of the community, which we are not. So what I would like to see is that we put forth some names
to the county executive because he chooses who is on the board. I have a list of names that some of our partners and staff have put together, and we can certainly look at the demographics of those people too to begin to get in line with statute to have a more diverse board. And with at least one vacancy or potential others, this could be the time. So that sort of plays into it as well too.
Suggestion for if he isn't going to stay on is look at a dentist with KCHC.
So, and this will kind of come back into what John is going to talk about with the bylaws, but one thing I would really, and I sort of mentioned this last time, that I would like to see is the old school models of boards of health were very medical. And I know this board was medical. There was a resolution I didn't even know about that had very specific medical professionals for 6 of the 9 positions. And being that we're on the cusp of this change in public health, that we must address health equity and look at the social determinants of health, I would like to see that vacancies we fill start looking at some of those. And you all sort of have some of those aspects, but I would like to see even more members, you know, bringing different things to the table. A veterinarian, a dentist, we don't really offer those kinds of services in the health department. So for me, it's sort of a hard mashup to have a board with those perspectives, but that's not what public health necessarily does. So my pulpit is to say I would love to have more community members who represent different social determinants of health. But, and I'll turn it over to John, because there was a resolution that when I sent out the bylaws, like, hey, here's a quick draft, what do you think? And he said, hey, you missed something.
Well, you know, these are things that can be changed with a new resolution. So if we want to change this, we can change it. But I did look up that there was a resolution in 1992, and that was before the statute changed. And then in 2008, there was another resolution, and that one sort of indicated what the will of the Board of Supervisors was in terms of the membership on this group and this Board of Health. And what it says is that there has to be someone from the County Board of Supervisors, there has to be 2 members that are physicians practicing in the county, and that's from a list of physicians submitted to by the County Medical Society, a member that's a dentist practicing in the county, and then and that's from a list of 3 dentists submitted by the County Dental Society. This is, again, what the resolution said that was passed for the county board. And then a member or a representative of the city of Kenosha, and I think that's important because there's also a contract between, or an agreement between the city and county, we have to comport with that. One registered nurse with experience in community health practice. So there you've got 6 members already, and most of them are, you know, most of them are going to be from the health arena or the health practice. So then at least 3, because the statute says you can have up to 9. And the only, so this is obviously more specific than the statute is, and this again could be changed, but that's where we left it in 2008 with our last action on that. But you know, all this, the statute says is that, yes, it should be a diversity. It's members of the local board of health shall reflect the diversity of the community, and a good faith effort should be made to appoint a registered nurse and a physician. That's really what the statute says. So there's a lot of room, you know, around that, or you know, away from that, or beyond that, I should say. But then this is what, you know, what we have in terms of the direction we were given by the county board in 2008. So that's on the membership. That's something to discuss. I don't know if you want me to discuss the majority voting issue, because that was asked whether I'm comfortable with the majority vote, which I am, in terms of anything, because this is a policy making group, right? And it's discretionary. When I looked at the Robert's rules, which we usually follow in these meetings, although we haven't been that formal, I mean, historically, right? I mean, so I mean, the only things that require 2/3 vote were ending a debate, amending a budget, which although we talk about a budget, they go to the committee and then the county board ultimately. Mm-hmm. And then suspending the rules; those require 2/3 vote. Otherwise, a majority vote is very reasonable, or what we could use.
And we might change that if we start getting into more heavier issues.
Right.
Right now, we have
a. I'd like to get into heavy.
I mean, from that description, there is nobody from the mental health field, and mental health is a huge problem in our county.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, I see that we need, I mean, in some senses, I have that background, I mean, but I shouldn't be filling that role.
Right.
I mean, you know, and city role, you know, like, let's just switch hat, you know. Yeah, I mean, we need somebody.
It's probably time to look and revise that RV bylaws to open it up to a different category. Because you're right about, we don't do dental. The last time we did it was at Frank's school, and that was actually the National Guard coming in to do it. Wasn't the local dentist.
Well, our school nurses, we have a contract with ASD. They do dental varnishing, and that's just for K in the first grade. And it's basically a prep to get them ready for when the community health center goes in and does their
smile.
You know, and animals, our environmental deals with dog bites and bats.
That's a pretty stretch to have a vet.
That's a stretch. So no, I would love, you know, so that ties back into the daytime issue, which is what I started out with, of, you know, now knowing all of that, let's address the date and time issue. What do you feel? I'm amenable to going back to Monday. I'm amenable to whatever. I was just trying to find an option that would produce more attendance.
Yeah, you're never gonna get everyone able to do it. It's just an impossibility. Yeah. Once we know the people that are gonna be in the seats, then it's easier. I mean, for example, I'm available almost any day of the week. Wednesdays are bad for me, but I can make it work any other day of the week. So
yeah. I can make Mondays work, but they're busy.
Tuesday, Fridays are bad for me. We don't know, we have meets on Fridays anymore.
Yeah.
Tuesday, I don't know.
I think what we need to start with is John and Jen need to get together and write a new resolution to go to the county board. Or if that one's amendable, or cancel that one, put in this one, update it to what you see we should be. I agree with everything you talked about. You're right about veterinarian dentist, you know. I'd rather see, you know, somebody in the mental health field would be absolutely.
Right.
Problem is, they're all real busy. You know, but you know,
knock on the door back there, they're right behind us.
We didn't have any meet at noon.
They're eager to show up, though.
Right.
Yeah. There's people. Mm-hmm.
And we've always struggled when I was on the board of Shalom to make our committee look like the community. We could hardly, blacks and Hispanics, the ones that are active, are so active in other communities,
committees,
it's hard to get them. But, you know, when you're on a board, this one only meets once a month for about an hour. These other places, you're on the board, then you're on some subcommittees. It's more time commitment. So the time commitment here is really not bad at all. It's very my easiest committee. So,
right.
But I think we start with a new resolution to replace the old one.
So
and move that through the county board process.
What are your thoughts then on number of physicians, nurses? That sort of thing.
One and one is fine.
I agree. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, one and one is
fine. One physician, one nurse, one mental health professional.
Definitely.
That takes three, one city. Mm-hmm. So that takes four of our nine physicians. What I had sort of put in there was a broad, you know, fields related to social determinants of health, including but not limited to law enforcement, housing, transit, commerce. There's been research of Chamber of Commerce persons on a board of health has proven beneficial. I mean, so I'm open to, you know, really anything. And then I sort of put, and this was just me tossing, spitballing, three persons with backgrounds in science or public health. And what John had edited back in was including one dentist because that was what was in the resolution. So my thing is if we have the four automatic, physician, nurse, mental health, city. And at least five positions then to have public health, you know, social determinants of health experience.
One question I have here is you have board members shall be current members in good standing of the professional association representing their professions. That almost sounds like everyone has to be a professional.
Oh, no, I didn't mean it that way. I meant if somebody hasn't renewed their license.
Okay.
Then the nurse representative on the board, but they aren't in good standing with their license.
Okay.
Maybe that needs to be reworded, so it's better.
Yeah, we can reword it to make it.
Because my professional association for me would be AMA or AAP or one of those.
Right.
That doesn't say my license.
Okay. So we probably can't vote on that now, though.
Professional license.
No.
We don't have to vote. So our tasks then, so we're gonna rewrite the policy to go through county board to change how many.
We'll probably have to go through the Human Services Committee too. They'll be referred to them.
Right.
And that, but I don't see any problem with the county board actually approving something that has been distilled. They'll just go along with that.
Sure. Yeah, and once we come up with something here in terms of what this body wants,
right,
then we would, you know, we'd have to do the communication, we'd have to go to the committee and go to the board. It's going to take a month or so, but
yeah.
That's not unreasonable.
Could we look at somebody like environmental science or ecology, you know, maybe even a professor or something from one of the universities, because of all the studies that are showing that trees have an impact on physical health and mental health. You know, I mean, you know, as we're looking at our people, you know, as we're listing out backgrounds, you know, it seems to me that while it's that environmental science might be,
I think that's social determinants of health. I mean, I think I don't want to get too prescriptive beyond what the statutes say.
Right.
But I think in those other five positions, then if you have names to bring forward of anybody, then I think that, you know,
definitely.
You know, and every time there's a vacancy, hey, we really should start looking at, you know, environmental, or hey, we didn't look at this. Let's start putting names forward of those members and make sure we're the disease du jour that is whatever is covered.
Yeah. Right.
So I would think if you come up with a new resolution, can be emailed to all the committee members, and we can say yay or nay or any changes, get it back to you, and then otherwise you'd have to bring it to the Board of Health next month to vote on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then whatever.
Isn't
it's
that a
three
walking
committees.
Quorum though?
Three committees.
As long as it's called,
that's a walking quorum.
It's only if you're talking without being approved. So if we put it out as a vote over email, I did add that language in there that there could be votes or meetings over email, so that could happen without being
just a smooth system.
Well, it just makes it a little bit quicker. Okay. We'd have to wait till next month and then send it for about another month worth of before it got to the county board.
Well, thank you for being so open with that. I appreciate that, because I think that'll really propel us forward.
No, one of the other things is we've never really done the terms.
Yeah.
It's just been 4.4 does some terms. We just always, you didn't want to be on it, then you said bye, and
yeah.
I don't know if they've ever.
You know, like you got Julia Robinson representing the city.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you one of the reasons that I'm here, because Jim has a hard time getting, when the supervisors get elected, and then he says, you know, the statute says we need somebody on the county board to be on this. And if I'm, you know, I'm busy, well, you know, then he's in a box. He can't get anybody to do it.
Right.
There should be an alderman, maybe an alder person, but they probably can't get him. You know, so the mayor gets frustrated and he has to go into the public to get somebody, whether you were an alder person or not before. But Jim's always got a problem putting people on all these committees that he has. And we give him a lot of names, and then those names all distilled out, a lot of them fall by the wayside.
Well, and that's why I think if, you know, if we can leave it more open, more broad, like the statute says, good faith effort to even try to get a position in a nurse, so good faith effort to get a city and a county and, you know, whatever, because obviously that'll ebb and flow. But I liked the terms be so that we breathe new life into the board. So that is why I suggested the terms to be able to give people an out if they want an out after, what do they put, how many years?
5 years.
Yeah.
So, okay, I've done my
5 years. For whatever
years.
Reason.
Resolution.
I've been gone 10 years ago.
Right. of course, it can be any time. I'm locked in for 5 years. But yeah, you know, just to, so that we can reevaluate periodically on the membership. And I'd also put in the other,
About officers.
Yeah, the other controversial point was about attendance. That with the statute being that we have to at least meet quarterly, four times a year, so that is why I chose the four. If you miss four consecutive meetings in a row or four meetings within 1 year's time frame, but then you're basically saying you don't want to be a member.
I'm good with that.
Guys are easy.
We're just updating everything. We're bringing it up to today's date standards.
Exactly, exactly. And I'm not so formal, but I mean, Robert's Rules does help us to get from
structure
out of sticky situations.
One thing that I think you might want to think about how you put the term of service shall be for 5 years, because if you do that, the shall is going to mean that come next February, you're going to lose everybody except for me. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't make a whole lot of sense, because everybody's been on this board for more than 5 years except for me.
No, and I was looking at this as this is starting,
yeah, starting now.
But again, at that point, you're again going to have a huge turnover 5 years from now. So, do you want to stagger it in some way?
Mm-hmm. I'm totally,
you know, again, instead of shall.
Yeah, and that language comes directly out of the old resolution. We change it, it's going to be whatever we decide to change it.
Right.
So maybe we
just
have.
I'd like a little more weight.
Change shall to may.
Half the members. Mm-hmm. Maybe we could do three. A couple of members as 2 year term, a few members as 3 year terms, and the rest is 5 year term or something like that, so we could stagger. I know 2, 3,
for
and 5.
For the first lineup,
round.
You mean? First round.
Correct.
And
yeah.
Then after that, everybody would be on 5 year terms.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Good point. So date and time, Tuesdays, second Tuesday of the month, stick with it, go back to Mondays, stick with second Tuesday.
I don't know, people that aren't here.
Yeah, and I wanted to implement a more formal system of people sending excused absences, because they were always marked excused even if we never heard from them.
Right.
So we had somebody email Karen and ask, how many meetings have I missed over the last, since 2015? And but they were always marked as excused even before Karen was on, so it wasn't a true representation. So Tuesdays at noon. We'll stick with it.
Okay.
So that presents us with at least two vacancies. Mario had said he was fine.
Mm-hmm.
And with the vacancy we've already had, you've had for a year or more.
Right. And then so, Maggie.
And I haven't heard an official from her as to, she just said Tuesdays don't work for me.
Okay.
So I haven't heard that she wants out or would make it work. I'm not sure. So I need to reach out, or if you wanted to reach out, or how would you like to?
Doesn't matter. It sounded like they weren't going to be doable, because she said for the foreseeable future.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
She couldn't do it.
Yeah. So I will reach out then, because I don't want this to appear like we're booting people off. That is certainly not my intention.
Right.
I was merely trying to find something that produced better attendance. So.
But she should really declare, you know, herself.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Correct. And if, and after I talk to her, if she feels that way, then I'll ask her to put it in writing and send it to
that's
us.
That's easy enough to do.
So then anything else with the bylaws? So we can certainly go back to take some cracks at this, send it out for your perusal.
Right, I mean, there are provisions for how the membership has to go, you know, I think it has to normally go to the that county on a list, at least that's how it was by statute. The staggered terms is something that's mandatory, that shall provide for staggered terms, but the length is up to up to us. I don't know what the length of the term is. In a county where the county executive shall appoint members of the county board of health subject to confirmation by the board of supervisors. So that's how we get our membership
locked up. So our task will be to go back to the drawing board, draft up a new resolution, fix up the bylaws, resend it out for you all to see, and then if you have any names of potential people that could be put on the list to fill the vacancies, and I'll send that up to the county exec. Which brings me to the orientation of new board members. Now, I know that you have that big gray manual, which I have poured through, and 99% of it is outdated. You know, here's what traditionally boards of health are, and here's what Wisconsin's done in the past, and here's a little bit about Kenosha, and how would you like to see orientations moving forward? We could do it any number of ways, but.
Now, NALBO does put out webinars, and they have an archive of them. They have a lot of interesting things on them that people can watch on their own time. They're usually pretty short, so that is one access to training. NACHO probably does the same. There's
so many resources.
Yeah, there's a lot of resources there.
Public Health 101 type of stuff.
And then there's things like the WALDAB conferences. They have the operational conference.
That was just last week.
Yeah, I think a new board member just needs to see the bylaws and the resolution, the ordinance that we operate under.
Okay.
And other than that, yeah, I dug out that big gray manual and
right.
Looked at it as just a history book. No,
it's still on my desk. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, it can be discarded. But it's a history of how things started here.
It is.
It really is.
I have a whole drawer of history stuff that
yeah.
Old photos. Yeah. Neat things I'll start bringing to the show.
I mean, a lot of the presentations that we've been given over the last period of time or whatever, I mean, they're all on PowerPoint.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them are done for the county board, you know, budget committees and stuff.
Yeah.
If a new board member could be given access or be given a flash drive that says, here, these are the main programs that we're doing. This
mm-hmm.
is what we're doing. This, you know, if you don't want to watch it, get the printout of it. And that way you can read through and be like, oh, that's what the, you know, this program does and this program. And that way at least you have a bit of a running start as to what the programs are. Because, I mean, I think that as far as orientation to the board, that's all we need is that data that you mentioned, but to understand what the Board of Health is involved in, there's an awful lot that the board does.
Right.
And you need, I mean, the health department does, and so to be able to have access to those things.
Instead of a flash drive, what about putting links on the website?
That'd be great.
Thanks, Gary. Then click on each of the programs,
and is it all available?
It can be all available.
Yeah, we've been doing quarterly staff education for an entire year now, and so we've got PowerPoints from every single one of our teams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, each of them are decent sized PowerPoints, like 75 slides long, but it covers about 5 teams. You know, each
that
team has.
But I've also saved the PowerPoint
that
were presented for the board.
But I would love to see, so what Leanne's talking about, that quarterly staff education, you know, our department, just in our division alone, is so siloed because we have 40 different grants and a million different programs, and those have been fantastic, and we just opened that up to everybody else in the rest of the building. I would love to invite all of you, and maybe that could be a mandatory orientation for all new board members as well, too. The next one is on April 28th. And it's a 1 hour succinct. You get to hear about 4 of our programs in 1 hour. Rapid fire.
It's 8:30 to 9:30 in the morning.
Place.
It's amazing. And we had the Brookside Health Director, we had the Director of Veterans Affairs. We had, and they were all like, I love this. I got the quick and dirty about 4 programs the health department does. So it's April
28th. 8:30, 9:30 in
N2. In N2, other end of the building, the big room.
Yeah.
See, I can see the value in that. What you mentioned earlier, I mean, every time I come to a Board of Health meeting, I'm losing money because I'm having to cancel a client in order
right.
to be here. So I can tell you that, you know, I can't keep doing that, but I would happily on my own time watch that if there was a link. Now, we can put links that are hidden behind, you know,
privacy things that only Board of Health can look at if we want it.
We could start maybe getting that, like, filmed. I'm like old school, you know, I'm great to film it. But because the PowerPoint is great and you can click through it, but hearing our staff actually explain what each of the slides, you know, and they're very knowledgeable about their programs and, you know, they're very proud of all the work that they're doing. And each of them gets like 10 minutes, you know, which is an entire year's, you know, worth of work in 10 minutes. So, but it's valuable to hear that verbal response. And then people can come and ask questions too.
This is a good segue.
I'm like, what are you doing here?
So, this is a good segue, if that's okay. Because I know we're at sort of the 15-minute mark left. Just a little bit of background. So I'm 2 months into the position. People have been hanging on by their fingernails. And in the last week, there were a couple retirements, a couple of resignations. So we're in a bit of a, you know, how the things get worse before they get better.
We're in the worst.
So we're in the lull right now. But we'll come through. We'll make it work. It'll work out. There's big changes happening. One of my first projects that John Jansen and Jim Cruiser said was figure out this service issue. You know, where are their gaps? Where are their overlaps? Not just within our health department, but with like the community health center and service assessment. Do a service assessment. So I've spent the first 2 months doing nothing but listening and soaking up and learning and what are we doing and why are we doing it and asking all the questions and that sort of thing. And my plan was to put together this glorious proposal for how we should reorg and what we should do. And then all of these new developments sort of hit my plate, so it jumped my timeline up about 3 months. So we are hitting this phase of doing a reorg now. And it literally just sort of happened this week, so I will be running that by you all as well at the next meeting. But with that being said, Sandy Light is our nurse practitioner. Do you all know Sandy, yes, from previous?
I've presented to you before.
Yes.
And she is one of the people that's going into a phased retirement. Sticking
well
on
deserved.
Long enough,
thank you,
because I handcuffed her to her desk. So anyway, one of the big things as we get into the hairier stuff is the Title X grant. And I had asked Sandy to come in for the last 10 minutes to just sort of bring you into the loop of what's happening with Title X before she runs out my door.
I'm sauntering out.
So if that's okay, if we can change gears and...
Go ahead. So, I'm Sandy Light, and I'm the nurse practitioner. I've been running the Family Planning Reproductive Health Program. Previously, the Family Planning Reproductive Health Program was supported by Title V money, Maternal Child Health Grant. And then in 2018, the Department of Health Services was, at the state level, all of the states actually, were instructed to apply for Title X grant funding. So in 2018, the DHS applied for Title X grant funding, and Wisconsin was named as a recipient in August of 2018. So then all of the local health departments had to make a decision about whether they wanted to apply for that funding or not apply for that funding. And so Kenosha made the decision at the time that we would apply for that funding. So then in October of 2018, we received some Title X money at that time, and that was for special projects, some things to do. So we... we're in, I don't know if we were dreaming or what, but we were hoping that we were going to have a dispensary that was going to work in our clinic. And so we had the computer system set up, barcode scanners. We used money for those kinds of things so that we could just scan our medications and they would automatically populate into the chart, and that would save you a time-saving venture, and everybody would be thrilled. Well, not working so well. But anyway, we used some of the money for that. So in the process of getting Title X money, which is now going to end in March of 2020. The additional funding that we got for 2019 will end now in 2020. And Title V money is no longer going to be around. So all of the Family Planning Reproductive Health services, if we choose to continue to do them or you choose to continue to them, will be have to be supported by Title X. We haven't heard anything yet from the state about how the funding is going to continue. When this initially came out, their thought was that we were going to have a 3-year rollout of the grant funding, but we haven't heard anything definitive about that yet. We haven't heard anything that we weren't going to get it either, so my assumption is that we will continue to get Title X money, which will then fill in for the Title V money, so we'll probably get about the same amount of money. But some things that I wanted you to be aware of about Title X, there are some stipulations that go along with receiving Title X money. So one of the stipulations, and I'm going to read it specifically from their guidelines, and it says, it prohibits specific activities, including referral for abortion and activities associated with abortion, that requires Title X projects to be physically and financially separate from programs in which abortion is provided or presented as a method of family planning, including programs that refer for abortions and programs that encourage, promote, or advocate abortion as a method of family planning. So in essence, we have always been under the guise that we provide all options pregnancy counseling to our clients. That when they come in, they get to choose what they want to do with their pregnancy. And under Title X, that's not true. So when the nurses are doing a pregnancy test on a client, if the client indicates that they would like to have an abortion and they no longer want to continue with the pregnancy, the nurses can't say anything about that. They can just say, okay, here's a list of prenatal providers, because we are obligated to give a list of prenatal providers, and they can't really refer them to an abortion provider. And to be honest with you, in our clinic, that has not really been ever an issue. The majority of our clients that come in for pregnancy testing are not looking to have an abortion. There are very, very few clients. So that was one of the reasons that we decided that we were going to take the Title X money, because we didn't feel like it was going to affect many of our clients.
If I can just jump in, a lot of other health departments decided not to take the Title X funding for that reason. It's sort of a public health principle to give clients every option on the table, and so several did turn it away and didn't take that funding. So now they're sort of figuring out how do they do maternal child health services in general, whereas we're a little bit different. But it does hamstring us a little bit.
It does. And, I mean, the guidelines get a little gray and fuzzy, as many guidelines do, federal guidelines do. The nurses could technically refer a client to me if they wanted information about abortion, and I could give them information about abortion, but I could not tell them where they could get it. So I can say, yes, in the state of Wisconsin, you can get an abortion. It's a two-step process, but I can't tell them where they can go and how they can have that done. So. And to be honest, it really has not been a huge issue for us, and that was one of the main reasons that we decided that we would take the funding. Some of the other things that I wanted you to be aware of that they mandate in this program is that we have to document that minors are encouraged to include their families in all of their reproductive health choices, which has also been a little bit of a sticking point for us, because in the past we were always told minors are independent in their reproductive health choices. So after the age of 14, they can come and see us if they want STD testing, if they want contraception. That's their choice. We don't have to contact their parents. We don't have to get permission from them. It's not mandating that we get permission from them. It's just saying you should talk to them about involving their families in their reproductive health choices, which no one in the clinic really has had any issues with. It's not a bad idea to talk to the minors and say, you know, have you thought about talking to your mom and dad about this? Or it also helps us to talk a little bit about sexual coercion, sex trafficking, and things like that we can bring into the conversation as well. So we didn't feel like that was a hamstring for us either. We cannot deny, one of the things that they say is we cannot deny other services if they don't accept family planning services, which is not an issue for us either. We are not going to tell someone, you can't have your immunization because you're not going on birth control pills. Like, we don't do that. So we didn't feel like that was an issue as well. One of the things that hasn't come up yet but could is that we cannot charge clients for any services that we provide if they're less than 100% of federal poverty level. So there's a program that's put on by the state of Wisconsin called Family Planning Only Services. So if people make less than the 300% of federal poverty level, they can qualify for that program, and they will pay for the contraceptives and STD testing for the clients. But if a client chooses not to sign up for that program, we ask them, we have a sliding fee scale, which also Title X mandates that we have a sliding fee scale, which we do. And then we ask them to make a donation based on the sliding fee scale to our services, but we never decline anyone's services based on their inability to pay. The issue that has come up in other health departments that they've talked about is if someone comes in, let's say they're a minor and they're 16 and they really are on their parents' insurance and their parents make more than 300% of federal poverty level, but the 16-year-old does not, and she wants a $1,000 IUD put in. Technically, she's less than 100% of federal poverty level, and if she refuses to sign up for the Family Planning Only Services program, we would have to put the IUD in at no cost to her. That hasn't been an issue yet, but it's just something I wanted you to be aware of, that is something that could come up. All of our clients so far have been more than willing to sign up for the family planning waiver if they qualify for it. And the other thing that has come up as well is we have to make an attempt to bill a third-party payer. So if someone does come in with insurance, we have to make some type of attempt to bill their insurance if possible. We don't bill third-party insurance through the health department. We never have. So the system that we've set up now is we make a copy of their insurance card. Darlene develops a type of invoice for them in fiscal, and it gets sent to their insurance company, and we know darn well that we're not going to get paid for it, but we've done our due diligence in trying to bill the insurance companies. And there are less than 10% of our clients come in and have insurance anyway, so again, that hasn't been an issue for us, really.
Why wouldn't the insurance company pay?
Because we're not, I'm not credentialed with them, and we're not contracted with them.
Yeah, we're not contracted.
So, I mean, I would vote that we do that, but it's a process.
Yeah.
And I don't know that it's worth it.
And credentialing providers with insurance companies is a nightmare.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I've done it before.
We're not in that business.
No.
And we'll not be in that business.
And if we had enough clients that made it worthwhile for us to do, maybe it would be worthwhile pursuing. But so few of our clients come in with insurance. Most of our clients have Medicaid, or they can sign up for the family planning waiver, or they're undone.
And Medicaid's not a problem with it. You can build
that. Yeah, we can build that. We don't have a problem with that at all. So I just wanted to make all of you aware of, you know, if someone asks you, hey, did you guys take Title X? I thought you guys should all know that, yes, mm-hmm. you did take Title X. mm-hmm. So does anybody have any questions?
And poor Sandy's sick, so thank you for your problem and your water and your...
I got my
eyes. That's guys. Yeah.
Take
that's
my lights off. All right, thanks.
Thank you, Sandy.
You're welcome.
So that's all that I had. Those were, you know, these are the sorts of things that I would like to see brought forth, you know, when there's the discussion at the time of do we take Title X or not. It was a huge discussion around the state. All health officers were talking, you know, gosh, that's one of our biggest pots of money, but it's going to hamstring us to not be able to give our clients full services. And, you know, so that's where you all as the advisory group to the health department. I would love to have your community perspective weighing in on that.
Question on that. If it's Title X, is that from the feds?
Feds.
All right, so is there a pot of money they're giving the state?
Yeah, everything filters
to
the state.
So if there are county health departments that don't opt in, does the pot of money stay the same and divide it up among the ones that stay in?
They are not admitting that, but yes. So for example, there was already a time in this past year, and don't quote me, Sandy would probably have a better, where the state came back and said, because so many people turned down, would you guys like extra? And we said, yes. But that's the part she was talking about that we haven't heard back then. So they're trying to figure out even what their formula is, and then how do they divvy that up, and that could mean we get nothing. I don't know. Mm-hmm. So we're not holding our breath, but yeah, so there, you know, there's a packet this thick of, if you take Title X, you have to. So she just basically touched on some of the hairier
sure.
items, but
typical.
It's it's a lot for a health department to digest. So. But because it is, you know, it's about abortions, and that's in the news, and so that was one of the things we wanted to make sure you know, so when you're out in the community, you know a little bit more about it.
Fine.
Yeah. All right. And that's all I have.
Any other comments?
So when's our next meeting?
We don't have one on the calendar, right?
No, Karen is my, do we have a March
or
is March one of the off ones? I can't remember now.
We haven't gone that far.
Yeah.
We were hanging,
kind of.
I didn't adjust mine. You sent out the list.
Right.
I did send it out, didn't I?
I saw March and I saw June and I was like,
April 14th.
Okay,
but
so
I wanted to know whether it was actually legitimately going to stay at April 14th.
So we're keeping it the Tuesday, so April 14th, noon to 1. Yeah. So March was one of the off ones for this year until I hook you in.
Got it.
So we will have to do some remote voting.
Right.
Yeah.
So we don't wait that long on the whole thing.
Yes.
And we'll send out reminders about the quarterly staff education. Mm-hmm. We'll look into videoing that and get all of you on the invite list for that, and maybe we'll make that sort of a mandatory for new members to come and at least see so they can start learning the program.
Yeah. Joe Patente usually comes to those, so maybe I can rope him into doing that.
Nice.
All right.
Okay. And next time, if we could talk a little bit more about mission, vision for the group, strategic plan, like what topic areas do you want to hone in on, and that kind of thing, that would help too, if that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Thank you. Thank you all so much. I appreciate you.
Yeah.
And 5 minutes early. Mm-hmm.
Got the new building all filled up?
No, it's not done yet.
I thought this is, well, we're having a grand opening.
February 20th is the opening of the pantry.
It wasn't.
Then they're going to come in the inside and finish the inside.
What's that? What's the thing I got the grand opening invitation?
February 20th is the pantry, the food pantry.
Yeah.
The inside.
No?
There's a big rush.
Oh, that's nice.
So that's what I
want
to
yeah,
say.
Right.
Thank you. That's good. I'm glad that she's going.
I'm glad that she's going. Well, I know though she does have
book by the 20th.
Well, that's around the corner, really. That's
only 10 days.
I mean, she has Monday, Mondays and Wednesdays go until 5:10. She's just got such a busy day. And then.